I'm Royce.
I'm Flo.
And this is Twin Teens Talking Teens Talking TCGS, your weekly pre-talking Teens Talking TCGS podcast. Today on the show, we have special guest Griffin Newman, host of OG Talking TCGS. I hate myself right now. And star of
Blue Bloods.
And star of
Draft Day.
And star of
Law and Order.
And it's going to be a great episode. A little bit of warning. We had some technical difficulties, and you'll be hearing everything as if they were coming through the speakers on Griffin Newman's laptop. So that should be a great treat for you, Newmanoids. That's a term I'm up from Griffin Newman fans. Here's the theme song.
Talking TCGS, episode 4.
What's the name of it?
We haven't come up with a name yet.
The Rise of the Griffin.
Oh.
Episode 4, The Rise of the Griffin. I'm Royce.
He's a new man today.
Hey!
I'm 19.
I'm Chris, also 19. Wait, 25.
Chris is 25.
I'm Paige, I'm 18.
She's 17. I'm Andres, I'm 16.
And 17. I'm Griffin, and I'm a disgusting, revolting 25 years old.
Yeah, you probably can't even pop an ollie, can you?
No. I'm too busy filing tax returns.
But he knows what snood is.
I know what snood is because I'm an old man.
Okay, I think we should get right into stuff. It is time.
Let's do it.
Okay, Andres, since you suggested it,
what? Okay, dig on it. last week we asked for emails, and you guys did not send us emails. So, not pointing any fingers here, but fuck all of you guys. Especially
Boo.
Emails. Especially Gepard.
Boo.
Boo, Gep. But the two emails we did get, one was from Jerry Legend, and he actually specifically said, I want Royce to talk with the Columbus crew, and how the Columbus crew are way better than the Portland Timbers. I don't know why, but he did.
Not true. Yeah, that, I don't know if I'm gonna. What can I say about that?
Do you watch soccer?
No, yeah, I'm a Portland Timbers fan. That's why, because he's a fan. And I know how much our guest Griffin loves sports, right?
My favorite thing.
Yeah. His favorite episode is the basketball episode.
Guys,
maybe you should talk about the Columbus crew, Griffin.
Oh, God. I mean, what can I say about the Columbus crew? I mean, first of all, those guys, when they get on the field, they play. I mean, that's
what
the first thing
play?
You gotta say. What sport they play? Just they're playing aggressive game. That's what they're playing. They're playing an aggressive, offensive game. They're getting out there. They're playing. Those guys leave it on the field.
Okay,
no regrets. They don't leave it in the locker room, for sure.
I feel like he just used every Friday Night Lights speech ever, and he just put the intro phrase.
It's an amalgamation of Friday Night Lights speeches.
They play the game.
They play to win the game.
But the
down here, down south, we play football.
Clear eyes, full hearts, they have to win. That's what they do.
They're named after a Spanish explorer.
Okay,
moving on.
Moving on.
Should we mention that Griffin's a guest and not just like,
that's
a good
point.
We just kind of glossed over.
Oh, sure, sure.
We have a very big guest, Griffin Newman. You may know him from such things as the host of Talking TCGS.
The original TCGS podcast.
What crime show were you on?
I was on two. I was on Blue Bloods and Law & Order.
You on Blue Bloods? Did you meet Tom Selleck?
No, I was with Donnie Wahlberg. I played like a computer detective.
Johnny Wahlberg?
Yeah. Yeah, I was...
Mark Wahlberg is a hero, yeah.
What?
Is he as scary as I would imagine Donnie Wahlberg to be?
Yeah, he was scary. He criticized me a lot of my acting.
Did he really?
Oh,
yeah.
What a dick.
Yeah, he's like, come on, man, just fucking listen. just play real. Fucking play real.
Hey, so you might know him from Blue Bloods as a computer hacker. And
I really want one person to just like tune in just because they're a really, really big fan of Blue Bloods.
Big Blue Bloods fan, yeah.
We have Blue Bloods star Griffin Newman on the podcast.
They couldn't clear Facebook, I guess. There was like, I was supposed to come in and give them evidence about like a victim and their Facebook profile, but I guess they couldn't use the name Facebook. So
they don't know how Facebook works in Blue Bloods.
The fake Facebook website that I had to say was Social Gizmo. I was like, look, I found his social gizmo profile.
Someone's Facebook profile.
Oh, a lot of incriminating stuff. It was like a murdered girl, and I had to be like, look, I found her social gizmo profile, and here's a thing a guy wrote to her. And then they were like, that guy.
LOL just killed you.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was, yeah.
The LOL killer.
The LOL killer. The social gizmo killer.
How long did it take them to come up with Social Gizmo, though? Like,
a full season, apparently.
Yeah.
I feel like us as teenagers and our skills in social media, we could come up with a fake social network name so much quicker than that.
Bookface, bam, done.
Bookface, bam.
Right?
No one would ever join a website called Social Gizmo.
No. It sounds like a weird porn site. Like
it sounds terrible.
I guess.
It makes me afraid the gremlins are going to come and attack me.
I was thinking that. I was totally thinking that. Okay. So, Griffin Newman.
Yes.
Host of Saddle B&A Live.
Yes.
Yeah. I think we should talk about that, definitely. I must be probably talking about it a lot already.
Yeah. On other podcasts that we won't name.
I do. I mean, that's...
Again.
Yeah, it's... It, you know, I get stopped on the street on a daily basis. I did my Inside the Actor Studio last week, and that was all Lipton wanted to ask me about. It's the only thing I get asked about.
La-di-da-da.
I know.
Can I ask a question? Do you view Teen Stock and TCGS as competition?
I don't even view it as competition, because I think you folks have so handily beaten us at this point. I feel like... Yeah, you now have the claim to being the superior TCGS podcast.
No, for the record, I have listened to every episode talking TCGS.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, big fans, yeah. I don't know about Paige. Paige doesn't listen to any podcast, but whatever.
No, Paige doesn't like podcasts.
No. Here's a question I've always had for you, Griffin.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know anything about you, like... comedy-wise. Like, I feel like I know everything about TCGS people comedy-wise. I know nothing about your start or anything.
I'm a big mystery.
Yeah, kind of. You're like the hint master.
I'm like the hint master. Oh, let me create a question mark over my forehead now. I don't know. What do you want to know? I'll answer anything.
I assume you're a UCB guy.
No, not really. I think that's why no one knows who I am.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't really do UCB stuff. I do stand up mostly, so I just like exist in weird bar basements and things, and everyone else involved at the show is very much, I think, part of the same kind of tight knit UCB community, and I do very little stuff there, not by choice. They don't want me. They'll have none of me. But I was in an improv class with JD a handful of years ago, and we met there. And we kind of hit it off. And then we had an improv group together for a little while. And then I decided to stop doing improv because I wanted to do stand-up. But JD and I kind of stayed in touch after that. And that was sort of my into the show, was I knew JD. But I didn't know anyone else. Everyone else from the show I really met through doing the show or going to the show, hanging around.
Well, the stand-up thing's kind of interesting. This is going to be kind of like a deep pull. Is that even a term?
Yeah.
You just stand up, but like Riley in that UCB documentary, like said that like he really dislikes doing stand up, and it's weird that like you're the duo behind talking TCGS.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have a different sort of. I don't know, performance histories? I don't know what the term is. I mean, I've done improv, too. I got into improv when I was a teenager, and I had an improv group with my friends in high school where we would rehearse every weekend in my parents' living room. And then we only ever got to do, like, four shows because no legitimate theaters would book a teen group. And all the other shows were at bars, and we couldn't get into bars.
You were in your parents' room yelling stuff like, can I have any recommendations? Your mom was like, clean your room.
Yeah, yeah, that was... My sister, I think my sister at the time was, like, 5 or 6, and we'd usually ask her for the one-word suggestion. But our group was called Uncle Dad.
Good name.
And we did Del Close Marathon. That was like our final show before all of us went off to college.
Oh shit!
Oh,
that was cool. And
how old
are
you?
How old are you? 18.
You're Paige's age.
I was Paige's age. Paige, you can do it.
All right.
Do it, Paige.
But that was God. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna try to breeze through this whole thing. I did improv a lot up until a point. Then that was sort of the last show. Then I went off to college in California and thought I wanted to be a very, very serious filmmaker. And decided I never wanted to do comedy ever again because I was tired of girls not taking me seriously. That was my big the chip on my shoulder. So I went to college in California, tried to get hyphy, could not do it, dropped out after a semester, and moved back to New York and was like, I guess I should start acting. I totally reversed all the decisions I had made 6 months earlier. And then I had a sketch group with my friends. We did sketch stuff, but we did it mostly at the Magnet Theater, which is like a rival theater of the UCB. And then I started doing improv again after that. And then I sort of made this left turn into stand-up. And stand-up is so isolating. And lonely. Are we? You guys hearing an echo from me talking?
No. I'm hearing a big echo.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm hearing
I'm hearing a terrible echo.
My bad.
It's usually Andres. It's usually Andres.
Yeah.
Is it though? I don't know.
But there is a thing where like the most of the people who are involved in the TCGS community are kind of like always working together on the same things. And you can kind of see, like, oh, these three guys were on the same improv team together, and they did a web series with this lady, and they were coached by this person. It all interconnects, and I've always sort of been an outlier from all that. Yeah, and I just got involved with the show, really. I mean, I was friends with JD, but then this answer is way too long. I don't know what I'm saying. I just went to the show every week. I was just a big fan. I went to the show, and then hung out with people afterwards, and then slowly made friends with all the different people.
Linkin Park, the bar name after the band.
Linkin Park, I would go to Linkin Park, the bar name after the band. I think I just kept on hanging out long enough until they finally were like, I guess we gotta acknowledge this guy. We gotta do something
with
him.
How did you make the jump from... Oh, Naomi's coming, apparently.
Oh, great.
How did you... My big wonder was, how did you went from... How you went from, because I had never heard of you until the Saddle Be Nate Live episode.
Yeah, well, I was on one episode before that, but no one remembers because I was really bad. I was on the Sum Yourself Up in One Dance Move.
Oh, you were, that's right.
I was the guest on that one too, but I didn't say too much. All I really did was, because it was mostly a dancing episode, and all I really did was I delivered an impassioned defense of the man behind the plant. How'd I make the jump? This is insider information, I guess.
Oh, shit.
I knew that the Comedy Central deal was happening at that point.
That was really early.
That was early. I found out through my own ways. I was just going to leave it at that.
That's pretty mysterious.
That's mysterious, but I don't want to say anything that's incriminating to anyone. But I found out sort of independently. And then I sort of, told JD, I was like, hey, I heard about the Comedy Central thing. Just wanted to offer my congratulations. And then he sort of told everyone else involved with the show. So then people started coming up to me, like Drew and Chris, and going like, hey, I heard that you heard about the Comedy Central thing. What are your thoughts? Because I guess they knew I was like this big mega fan who overanalyzed the show. They wanted to hear my thoughts. So that kind of brought me in a little more because suddenly I was like in on the secret.
And then
JD, or Chris asked me to do the Saddleby episode, and the whole sort of thing with that was that episode was them, you know, if you remember, the first half of that episode was the half hour TCGS with the what's in the box thing. And that was them trying out stuff for Comedy Central, going, can we do a 22-minute episode? Can we make it tighter? Can this and that? And so they asked me to do that because I knew about the Comedy Central thing, because they wouldn't have to explain to me why the show was so different. And because they knew I was a fan of the show and knew what was going on, they wouldn't have to spend any time. A lot of times guests on the show, the first 15 minutes, they have to go, so this is how the show works. And they knew that I didn't need any explanation. So that's how I got lucky with that episode. And then it ended up being a cool episode.
Naomi, you just joined. Oh, there was an amazing... Oh, this is off topic. I was on my Twitter, and there's this person I know who was live tweeting the first ever wrestling match she had ever watched. And, yeah, it was really weird. But then... It was really funny. I took a screenshot of it. Fuck, I can't find it. But basically, it started off saying, this is really dumb. This is really dumb. And slowly, she got more and more into it. And by the end of it, she was like, this is amazing.
Wrestling is the best. Dude.
The weirdest.
It's so stupid, but it's the funniest, most awesome thing.
I feel like Griffin would be a wrestling fan.
Yeah, I can see that.
I want to get into it. Like, the thing was, growing up, my brother was a big jock sports guy, which I think probably explains a lot of my hatred of sports, because my brother was really good at sports, and I didn't understand them and couldn't throw things or catch things, so I stayed with comedy. And he was really into wrestling when we were young, and I hated it. And I was like, oh, this is you with your dumb sports stuff. And now I see clips of wrestling, and I realize it's so much closer to comedy than it is to sports.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like, yeah, well, like, it's, it reminds me of TCGS a lot.
Yeah. I need to get into it, but I've always had this kind of grudge against wrestling that I've been trying to drop and recently. But then I don't have cable. Most of wrestling's on cable, right?
Oh, internet, you can just watch the illegal streams.
But see, I'm an artist. I try not to watch illegal things. Because I want to believe that I can make money off this stuff.
Vince McMahon's a billionaire, man.
I'm not. By the way, me saying I'm an artist isn't me doing some like backhanded stab. It's because I want to believe that I could someday make money off of people watching stuff legally.
Now that is true. But
yeah,
I've been watching all the Best Picture nominees illegally online.
That's terrible. So, yeah. What if I was in a Best Picture nominee?
Wait, what? What'd you say?
What if I was in a Best Picture nominee? You'd be stealing
money
from me.
What's the Oscar buzz on draft day?
Yeah, draft day, Best Supporting Actor. Good
through thing. The roof. Through the roof. The Oscar buzz? Yeah, I got a key supporting role.
My mom was watching the trailer for that, and I said, Griffin, we were in the movie theater, because this is a really sad story, as usual for me. She goes, let's go to the movies, because I was doing nothing.
Uh-huh.
So I went to the movies with my mom on a movie date, basically. And it was just a bunch of, teenage boys, and we went to see a Lone Survivor.
Yeah.
And the trailer was draft day, and I went nuts. I'm like, Mom, Griffin is in this trailer. Griffin Newman, do you know who I'm talking about? She didn't know who I was talking about.
Of course not.
I
said,
he's from talking TCGS and Blue Bloods. He's from Blue Bloods, Mom.
So, dude, Griffin, did I tell you my plan? That I'm going to find a girl to go on a date with me to the premiere of draft day.
Okay.
You see that interim guy there? The guy who played him called me well-adjusted once.
Hey. That's it.
And it's going to work. It's going to work. That's my big plan.
That's a great key to a lady's heart, yeah.
well-adjusted.
No, I saw the movie. I mean, if I could get in a plug, I think it's really good.
Really? It's a sports movie, though.
Yeah, I know. That's my big seal of approval, is that even though it's about sports, I liked it a lot.
Just tell me this. Does Kevin Costner get the number one pick? Does he get the good draft pick?
I'm not going to tell you.
What's Kevin Costner like
Intimidating?
Intimidating?
Yeah, he's like a big movie star. Like, it's like, I had to, like, talk to him, and it felt like talking to Mount Rushmore or something.
I mean, he has one Oscar. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves.
He has an Oscar?
Yeah.
Best director. Best director.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Dancing with Wolves.
Director directed Dancing with Wolves?
Yeah.
God, what the hell?
Yeah. That won Best Picture, too. I don't know if he was a producer on it, but he won.
No, it was just. Oh, no, he was. He was a producer and director, so he has two Oscars.
Two Oscars.
Jeez.
Two. Yeah. Yeah, I have zero Oscars. I got a big fat goose egg.
Yeah, but like.
Dances with Wolves is good, but.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Best Picture.
Yeah.
Yet.
My dad loves that movie.
Dad loves Kevin Costner.
I kind of want to talk bad about Kevin Costner, but I feel like Griffin would get in trouble if I did.
But say whatever you want, and I'll defend him. This is the bit we're going to do. I'm going to defend him.
You had to defend Kevin Costner?
Yeah, you say bad things about him, I'm going to defend him.
Waterworld.
He's a very nice man.
That's true, that's true.
My defense is he's a very nice man.
Wait, at Universal Studios, do they still have that Waterworld show?
Yes,
that
they
show
do.
Was great.
They still do.
But why?
Like 20
why?
Years later. Do you know what? Here's my actual defense of Waterworld, because I heard him say this on set. Waterworld made a profit.
Ooh.
Like, Waterworld is always, like, cited as being this huge flop, but, like, they have the stunt spectacular, and they sold a bunch of toys and stuff, and it did well overseas. Like, Waterworld was a successful movie.
Wait,
that's hilarious to think
that
he's on sets defending Waterworld.
Exactly.
<Yeah.
laughs> And it's, like, still this thing.
It comes up sometimes, yeah.
Well, trivia, the little girl in Waterworld is
Tina Margarino.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah,
Napoleon Dynamite.
And Veronica Mars, yeah.
Oh.
That's weird.
Yeah, she was the friend of Veronica Mars,
wow.
Yeah.
Is it weird that I always mix up Dennis Quaid and
Kevin Costner?
Kevin Costner?
Not Dennis Quaid and Randy Quaid?
No, because they're both actors that dad loves. They're both dad actors.
Dad actors.
Dads love Quaid and Costner. Okay,
he was
Andres. Try to say something bad about my boy K-Cos. I'm going to defend him.
K-Cos, you know,
okay,
you know,
again,
monotone and Dances with Wolves.
One Oscar.
He was.
When he's reading
He was in the worst movie of this year.
Which was?
I would argue he gave the best performance in that film.
Wait,
no,
what movie was that?
Man of Steel.
Man of Steel?
Man of
I'd
Steel,
argue he kind
of
crushed it.
Man of Steel was really bad.
Yeah, exactly. I hated Man of Steel, but he crushed it.
I think he was like a really good choice for that character.
But he wasn't the best.
It's just that Zack Snyder makes shitty movies.
He just needs to stop.
Yeah, but that wasn't Costner's fault. Costner elevated the material.
Oh yeah.
But he was the third best actor in a very shitty movie.
Who would you say was above him? Who would you give one and two?
Okay, Russell Crowe was terrific, I thought.
I thought so as well, but I thought Costner was the better father.
And then the girl that played the bad, I don't know who she was. She was like foreign.
What?
She,
Andres?
She was great, I thought.
She says nothing. She just does a lot of punching. Kevin Costner gave an emotional tour de force.
No, he did not give a tour.
I think that's the first time tour de force in Man of Steel I've ever been like, used in a sentence.
He properly painted the pains of being an adoptive father and wrestling with your son's discomfort. Being in a household where he was not born into. That moment where he's like, I just wish that I was your son. And Costner goes, you are my son. And he hugs him. It's beautiful. I cried.
I think Griffin just like read like a poem.
No Zack Snyder movie will ever make me cry.
cry.
I don't like Zack Snyder, but Costner's my guy. He's a great actor.
I feel like to mention I cried in the movie Click every episode now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should mention that. Yeah.
I mean, I cried in the
mention that I showed up.
So, Griffin, I think you already went over a lot of this, but I guess my idea for this would be you kind of talking about what you were like as a teen and comparing with our current experiences as teens.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I already did that long-winded thing about my improv group.
Oh, yeah, I totally heard all of that.
Yeah, you'll get to that's
I mean,
a treat for when you listen to the episode,
yep.
Naomi.
Yeah, I've been here. I've been quiet.
What was I like as a teenager? I'll say, you know, I've been listening to this podcast, Teens Talkin', and I'm a big fan. And my biggest takeaway from it is it makes me a little sad just because I wish I had TCGS when I was a teenager. I think about how much it would have meant to me. I mean, it means a lot to me now, but especially at that age. And the sort of, I mean, this podcast is a testament to, like, all of you only know each other through this show.
That's true.
And you've become friends. It would have been nice for me to have a thing like that.
adult women talking TCGS said the exact same thing.
Really? So I'm just ripping off all the other podcasts. Yeah, no, what was I like as a teenager? I was very, very into comedy. I grew up in New York, so I went to the UCB a lot. Chris really was kind of like my idol. Like, that was the guy I would go see shows with.
Oh, you guessed it before the show?
Yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess I probably started seeing shows at UCB right around the time he started doing shows at UCB.
Wow.
And I guess Chris was at the time younger than I am now.
Oh, shit.
But I remember going to see, because he started young. He was like 20, 21, 19, I don't know. And he was on.
You said 19 on some show.
Yeah, I think he said 19.
Yeah.
Which made me feel bad about anything that I've been doing lately.
He was like the kid. He was like the kid at UCB, like the young guy. And I would go see shows with my friends, and we'd be like, that's the guy. That's the guy we want to be when we grow up, which says a lot about us.
Were these the friends that you were taking photos of Chris and Hallie kissing and sending to?
Yeah, one of them. Yeah, of course. Alejandro Collini. I'll give him a shout out.
Alejandro.
Alejandro, I'll say this. Alejandro hosts a great podcast himself called No Wrong Answers.
Hey, we're not trying to...
No, we don't plug.
We don't plug.
Do we... Is there a plug segment at the end?
Yeah, sure, there is.
Yeah, okay. Sure, we'll make that.
Great.
Plugs.
Or we'll do it in the beginning like Pete Holmes, where we'll just plug every upcoming show.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Can they get crispy?
Yeah.
Crispy.
I'm trying to think of other teen stuff. Yeah, I mean, I went to UCB a lot. I saw a lot of movies.
Were you bullied as much as Andres is?
I'm not bullied that much, guys.
You're bullied a lot. I don't know. I occupied a weird space. Like, I felt like in high school I was kind of like Kramer. Like everyone was like amused by me. Like, I don't know how many friends I had, but, like, everyone kind of liked me, you know?
That's me right now. So I'm Kramer.
It was like everyone was like, oh, that guy's funny, because I did stupid stuff, but I kind of wasn't invited to parties and girls didn't like me.
Oh, no. I'm going to become Griffin and be on Blue Bloods when I grow up.
Yeah, it's aimed
at. I think we were never invited to parties in high school.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely not. Like, all the cool kids, like, I didn't drink until, like, summer of my senior year because I didn't go to any of those parties where people did that.
Yeah.
And, like, and I had a really large group of friends, but we weren't the cool kids. It was, like, my band friends.
My brother, who's 3 years younger, is really cool.
Yeah, but then I didn't have any.
I thought band kids and drama kids.
That is exactly what I am. Is a band kid.
Then why don't you party hard?
Didn't you say you got your first kiss at band camp? Was that what you
did
say?
Yes.
Oh,
hey.
So God.
You're a walking stereotype.
I really am. But
Griffin,
I think...
when did you get your first kiss?
My first kiss? I got it. I got summer camp. I got it. I was young. I got a 12-year-old kiss.
10-year-old?
12.
Wow.
Wow, you're beating me in that too.
Yeah, I went to a really cool summer camp where. It was kind of this big social inversion. It was like a camp where all the dorks became like the kings of the crop. So every summer
like
I was like
summer
very
camp
popular.
Summer
camp. Yeah. Oh, it's like that book, Butterfly Revolution, which is
Naomi, I love that book, Butterfly Revolution.
did you go to the camp that the movie Heavyweights was on?
Yes. Yes. I went to the opposite of that camp. It was a camp for people to gain weight. It was for kids who were too skinny. That's another... I'll say another thing about me as a teenager. I weighed, like, 95 pounds.
Jesus.
Yeah, I made, like, a conservative effort to gain weight 3 years ago because I was too skinny. But, up until 3 years ago, I was always, like, skeletal.
Roll with it. Like, I remember when my brother was really little, he was very skinny, and he hadn't hit puberty, so he wasn't gaining any weight, and he, like, celebrated the day that he got over 100 pounds, and, like, started weighing more than 100, and now he's a 6'4", 200-pound giant.
Ugh, that's the worst.
Yeah.
Because I hear those stories about kids who didn't grow, and then had, like, a big spurt. I'll say this, I remember there was a thing where my father... made a deal with me that if I got over 100 pounds, he would buy me a Tamagotchi.
Oh my god.
Like, my parents were like, how old is that? I guess, well, no, I guess at that time I was like, that was like 9 or 10.
Wow. Because I remember Tamagotchis being huge when I was like that age.
There were, I think there were a couple waves of Tamagotchis. I think there was like a Tamagotchi comeback.
Yeah, it was like 5th grade for me.
Yeah.
It was like, your teacher would get mad at you if you had it. You had to put it in your backpack.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And we all played with them at lunch.
Hey, Griffin.
Yes.
Where were you in Pokemon Hit America's Shortest?
Where was I in Pokemon?
No, when Pokemon, like, invaded.
Oh, I was, 5th grade? Yeah. Right, Pokemon 99?
Yeah.
I was in 5th grade. I was 10. So Tamagotchi must have been a little earlier. Tamagotchi was probably like 8. I was like 10 when Pokemon hit. I was big into Pokemon, but like first wave. I was all about like Red and Blue, and then I was out. I was out.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's never the same for us, because we were 5. What?
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, gold and silver is probably what we
went out. I've never played Pokemon a day in my life.
I'll give you a hot tip. A hot tip.
What's that? Wow.
The episode of Talking TCGS that we recorded yesterday, which will come out tomorrow before this episode airs, so it won't be a tip. I'm just realizing that what I'm going to say is going to be old news by the time this
say
podcast
it anyway.
Drops. Dave Bloodband is the guest, and we talk about Pokemon a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is his favorite Pokemon Magikarp?
We didn't get into who his favorite was, but we compare Pokemon to TCGS. And he just talks a lot about how much he likes Pokemon.
I can picture that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Oh, can I? Oh, I can't. Actually, can't say that. Never mind.
What are you going to say?
Never, come on.
No, I actually can't. Like, my grandmother could get sued.
Oh, no.
That's...
Did your grandmother invent Pokemon?
If anything, like, the addition of Griffin has really subdued, like, Andres's oversharing. That's a characteristic of every other episode.
Is this like, is this unlistenable? I can't tell if like anyone will be able to understand what's going on.
Last week's episode.
Last week I thought was completely unlistenable. It's only kind of unlistenable.
Okay.
And if you listen long enough.
And it wasn't I re-listened it. It wasn't terrible. I thought it was going to be worse.
And this is me plugging last week's episode. If you listen long enough, you get to hear a story about Andres seeing a girl's boobs. So.
Oh my god. Andres, congratulations.
I saw another recently.
Congratulations!
Yeah, I did. So
another one.
Fuck you, Paige. You're 18. You can't pick on me.
You couldn't seal the deal on the other one? You could only get one out of the two?
No, it's on both of them.
Oh, wow!
Yeah. So thank you, everybody. Thank
you. Are you going to explain it all, or are you just going to leave it at that?
What,
I mean,
was it
online.
You saw it online? That doesn't count.
Oh,
online doesn't count. Anyone can see a boob online. That doesn't take work.
Yeah.
Half the internet is boobs.
I've seen it on Tumblr on the regular, and I don't even like enjoy it. I just it's there.
Yeah, you just
it was a real person. It was a real person that I was talking to.
Yeah, so tons of real people. I can Google. I don't know Pamela Anderson boobs right now. She's a real person. I'd see her boobs.
Griffin, you've been on Blue Bloods. Just because you've been on Blue Bloods doesn't mean that you can fucking push me around like this.
Fair enough.
Treat me like a,
enough. You sense my Blue Bloods arrogance.
Few victories in his life. It's like Zach Galifianakis seeing two sets of boobs.
I actually only saw one from each girl, so now this is my first set.
Oh, really? Jeez, man.
Wait, so
my first set.
Let's break down this story. I don't know if we're going to have to cut all of this out if this is incriminating for you, Andres. But you now have seen two boobs, one boob each. Each one was a real person, and they were both on the internet?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Were they a matching set? I don't know.
You don't know? You just blocked out the memory?
No, there's a lot of me crying afterwards.
Guys, I'm sorry for ruining your podcast. I was a big fan, and I feel like it's jumped the shark now.
Are you kidding?
No, like...
No.
I think I've added a weird vibe to this whole thing.
You have, kind of.
I have, right?
That's just because it has slightly more structure.
Yeah, slightly more structure.
I don't know. I think I'm corrupting it with my gross 20-something energy.
You
Yeah, it's a little aggressive.
Well, that's the thing, is if we said, like, oh, we can only have teenage guests,
sure,
we would have such a small, limited number of people, and almost none of them would be from the actual TCGS, like the universe within, like, New York. So
sure.
I feel like there's nothing wrong with having an adult guest on. Adult mix. Oh, God. There's nothing wrong with having a not-teen guest on.
Sure.
And it's part of our master plan to have crossover podcasts with every other podcast first.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Now that we have a head start, we can say that.
Yeah.
I asked Drinking TCGS, and they said no.
Ooh.
They said no?
They
Damn.
Did. I Skyped. What happened was they added me on Skype, and they brought me into a phone call with Jeff
Pamela?
Yeah, Jeff Pamela.
Yeah.
And during it, I was like, hey, teens want to know if you can do like a crossover drinking thing, and they said no.
Yeah, okay. Well, Andres, that's fine. We're not supposed to be
drinking
anyway.
Yeah, incriminating. It's incriminating.
Obadiah owns the dick skirt. I made that. Can I hold that over her?
Oh, shit.
Is she part of Drinking TCGS?
Yes.
They can definitely hold that over.
Their logo is them wearing the dick skirt.
What?
It is like the raddest thing. Oh, my God.
No,
that
it's
is
sick.
My favorite thing ever, that picture.
That picture's the best. Apparently, they Googled bowling alley carpet for the background.
Where do they live? Let's ask. I'm going to turn this into an interview about Drinking TCGS, a podcast none of us are involved with.
Somewhere in the South.
Somewhere in the South, okay.
Is it Oklahoma?
North Carolina.
No.
I think Obadiah lives in Oklahoma and Liz lives in North Carolina or some shit like that.
Oh, holy shit.
Because it's
Obadiah had a huge issue with getting to the pilot because it was that like blizzard in the South.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
That was so sad.
A blizzard.
I know, it was devastated.
What, an inch of snow?
Basically, but no one can drive here. Yeah.
Wow. Fuck the South.
So sad. Hey.
We never get snow here. Yeah, it was
hot. Shut up.
It was like, I can't wear a sweater. It's too hot.
And it's only 12:40 in the afternoon.
I hate it.
Just throwing this out that page, the North has 1-0 in Civil Wars. So, talk to you.
I'm from the North, so.
You're pro South.
Well, when you're from the South.
Does everyone have an accent in Tennessee?
People
we
who
got
are from
some
here,
catfish
yeah.
down here.
No, Andres, with the racism. Andres, stop with the accents.
My accents are terrific, guys. You don't know what you're missing.
That's one of the things that I wish we could have done with the emotion. I wanted everyone to try to imitate the English accent when she had to leave early.
Royce, you never say her name right. Can I just point this out?
How do you say
Imogen.
It right?
Imogen.
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 Right? Yeah.
Imogen.
You should have said it wrong.
Emotion.
After she told us how to say it.
Dude, like, I said before we even did that, I have no idea how, I'm so bad at pronouncing stuff, man.
I'll say, until I saw the first Harry Potter movie, I thought the character's name was pronounced Hermione.
that's why, apparently, I think it's in book four.
Yeah.
Victor Crumb asks Hermione how to pronounce her name, and it's because fans were always mispronouncing it.
Wait, it took them until the fourth book to be like...
Yeah. Wait, which came out first, the fourth book or the first movie?
I don't think...
The fourth book. Okay. You were a teen when
it
came out.
I thought
it was, four were out.
Yeah.
I thought it was the first three, but I could be wrong.
That was the first four.
Interesting.
Because I remember they had the box set of the first four.
Yeah,
they came out in
1999,
right?
The first movie came out in 2000.
2001.
No, 2001.
Again,
the rest was 7 movies.
Yeah, 8 movies.
Can I throw out like a pretty impressive a Harry Potter brag here?
I
got into the books like very early. A kid that I was in elementary school with, Lucas Fawcett, tipped me off to them, and
Yo,
so
Lucas!
I read them, like, I read the first one when only the first one had come out. I read the second one when only the second one had come out. When only the second one had come out. When only the first two were out. I was in on the ground floor. But before, when it was really big, but it wasn't, like, worldwide phenomenon level, when the third one was coming out and it was just starting to really, really break through, J.K. Rowling did, like, one book signing in New York City, and I have a signed copy of Chamber of Secrets.
Nice.
That's pretty awesome.
That's really cool.
Are you also in a Wizard Rock band?
I was, yeah.
So FYI fans, if you're able to guess what current thing Griffin has on his face, he'll give you the book.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a bunch of Google effects on. My sister stole it. Like, I went to visit my parents recently, and my sister had it on her bookshelf, and she's never read any of the books. And I was like, what are you doing stealing my Harry Potter book? And she's like, I don't know, I think it makes me look cool.
Oh, fuck your sister, Griffin.
Yeah,
hey,
no.
Hey, my sister's a teenager. Watch what you say about her.
Is she really?
So are we.
Yeah, my sister's is about to turn 16.
She's how old?
She's 15 now, 16 next month.
So we're all older than her.
Yeah.
Yeah, Texas.
Yeah, she's a young
kid. We can bully her.
What's her first name, Griffin? Give her a shout out. Give the kid a shout out.
Her first name? All of you are going to make jokes because her name is weird and you'll never have heard it before.
My name is Naomi.
Are you ready for what? Are you ready for what her first name is? Are you ready for her first name? Romilly. Andres is bursting into hysterics.
Me too.
It's a good name, but I'm saying, I remember when my parents told me that, like, my dad picked me up from school, my sister had been born, we're driving over to the hospital, and I was like, what's her name? And he was like, it's Romilly. My first response was, I got really angry, and I went, how am I ever going to remember that? I was afraid I would never remember her name. It's a weird name.
Were your parents really big Star Trek fans?
No. No, why? It sounds like Romulan. Like,
yeah, exactly. That's exactly.
No, it's like a weird British name. I don't know where it came from. Romilly.
Are you British? Is the Griffin family British?
I've heard that before.
My mom is partially British. Yeah, my mom's half British.
Oh, wow.
So she's a mudblood.
Yeah. My mom.
Mudblood.
My mom is British, but she was raised in France by a French father. Her adoptive father was French. Adoptive father. Her mother remarried very shortly after she was born. So she was raised in France. By a French man. So she, like, identifies as being French, but I have no French genes, if that makes any sense.
There's, like, a lot into Griffin's backstory. Yeah. I feel like we could answer some, like, security questions.
What's my maiden name?
What's your maiden name?
Where was the first street that you lived on? You
know? Yeah, these are all my questions.
You want to know your first pet?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I mean, without giving you the answer, the way I know that no one will ever get my security question is I chose the first pet one, but I didn't have a pet growing up, so the answer is the name I made up for the imaginary pet I believed I had. So, like, no one will ever guess it.
There's going to be, like, a handful of people who know the information, right? Do you trust them?
I don't know. I mean, I think very few people do know, would put it together.
But also, I think none of them...
Yeah, sure. Yeah, they'd have to have both pieces. They'd have to know me at that age when I pretended that I had a pet pig, and they'd also have to be listening to Teen Soggy. I had an imaginary pet pig, yeah.
That narrows it down. That narrows it down a lot.
I mean, you don't know what I name my pig. I can name a pig anything. I can name my pig Romilly.
Piglet. Write it down as Piglet.
You think it's Piglet?
Nobody's that uncreative.
Yeah.
I feel like Newman.
I'm a creative guy. I'm a creative guy, Andres. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we do we get any more emails? I think we got no more emails. So
did we cover?
No one emails us. Did we even talk about any stuff? We talked about sports.
I missed all of this. Did we cover? Because we got emails from Jacob and Jerry Legend.
We talked about Jerry's. Jacob's was just like talk about Like Mike, but we talked about Like Mike last podcast.
So we talked about the Sandlot. He said talk about the Sandlot.
I hate the Sandlot.
You hate the Sandlot? Then shut the fuck up, Andres. Sandlot's a great movie.
How do you hate the Sandlot?
It's so lame, man. It's
shut up, Andres.
Fuck you, man.
I don't want to talk.
There's not even any skateboarding in it.
That's true. There's never been a good skateboard movie.
Oh, yeah. What about Brink? Isn't there
Brink? Brink isn't skateboarding.
Brink is Brink. Inline skating? Rollerblading? Oh. Skateboarding movies.
Has it never been a good skateboarding movie?
Oh, no, but no. I like Lords of Dogtown. I like that movie.
Okay.
That was not too bad.
No, MVP, really. Most Valuable Primate. There's one where he skateboards.
Oh, and there
yes.
is.
Wasn't that called most Vertical Primate? Was the skateboarding
yeah.
one?
No, it was not.
Yes, it was. I'll look it up right now. The skateboarding one. The first one was Most
yeah,
Valuable
the
Primate. The second one was Most Vertical Primate.
How have we all seen this movie?
I haven't. Because
it's a classic.
What
general.
About Air Bud?
Air Bud movies.
Wait, he never skateboarded.
I almost cried during one of those.
How often do we talk about crying during movies in this podcast?
We're not doing that again.
Every
We're
episode.
Sensitive
Every
people.
Episode.
I'm sorry,
We're
if
sensitive.
I can just quickly interject here. I'm on the Wikipedia page. MVP2: Most Vertical Primate is a 2001 film, the second in the MVP series. It's about him skateboarding, right? Yeah. Ben breaks his board, is going to enter a skating competition. It's about skateboarding.
I have this actually great...
Isn't there, like, a deaf girl in those movies?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, she
knows
sign language.
And, like, didn't the monkey know sign language, too, or am I?
Yeah, that's exactly
I have this very vivid memory of my dad once asking me, because I love those movies when I was younger. He was going to Blockbuster, and he goes, "What do you want me to rent for you?" And I remember saying to him, "Anything but monkey to play sports, and I'm good." And he brought back, like, Spy Monkey, and it's a monkey to play football.
Same director, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a line where basically the whole plot is, like, he's a spying monkey. And then his owner, who's also a spy, he has to defend this little girl that's, like, a little boy that's, like, watching the monkey. And he gets attacked in a park, and he's, like, fighting all the people, and he has an ice cream cone. And he stuffs it down a bad guy's neck, and he goes, "It's pistachio flavored."
Do you know what the third one is called? I just looked this up. The third one breaks the title structure. The third one's called MXP.
Most Extreme Primate.
And it's snowboarding. He's king of the slopes.
I love that one. That's the best one.
How about Johnny Tsunami?
Johnny Tsunami.
That was great.
Yeah.
Johnny Tsunami was great. He went from skateboarding to surfing, right? Or was it the other way around?
Surfing to snowboarding.
Oh, right. Jeez.
Johnny I've never Sinai. Seen Point Break. Is Point Break skateboarding or in surfing? Surfing.
No, it's just surfing.
It's
surfing and
that
bank
like
robbery. Surfing and crime.
It's surfing and shooting people.
Yeah, basically. Or just shooting up into the air.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember all of the Disney Channel? Like, there were so many Disney Channel original movies.
Yeah, they should sell a box set. They should sell just, like, anthology.
I think my favorite was Smart House.
Smart House is good. What was the one where, like, they had the thing that, like, made it snow in LA?
Oh, I remember that one.
I don't know.
That was an okay one. I didn't like that one as much. I don't know.
Do you guys know the one of Shia LaBeouf called True Confessions?
Oh, yeah, where he plays the, I should have been this excited about this. Yeah, he plays the child's little brother.
I never saw it. I owned the book when I was little, the actual book, True Confessions, because my grandma used to give me books from yard sales, so I had this bookshelf full of random, like, teenage girl books. So, like, that's why today I'm very, very emotional, and I'm very, like, sad all the time, because, like, life really isn't fair for people like me.
It's good quality.
And True Confessions, I remember reading that almost 12 times, and every single time I end up crying. I was just such a little lame teenage, like, I wasn't a teenager, I was elementary school at that point. So I was a very lame elementary school boy.
You were sensitive from a young age.
Yeah.
Wow.
Stargirl, loved Stargirl.
Stargirl's a great book.
Stargirl's such
anything by Jerry Spinelli immediately makes you cry. Those were like the most emotional books.
Do you guys know the one Smiles to Go? That was like one of his like later ones.
It's called Smiles to Go.
Yeah.
What was it about?
The title comes from that poem by what's the poem? It goes Miles to Go Before I Weep, Before I Sleep. Miles to Go.
Robert Frost. Right?
Robert Frost. Yeah.
Okay.
Miles to Go Before I Sleep.
So it's a pun.
It's a pun. Yeah, it's a pun.
It's a terrible pun.
It is. But that book is one of the most neurotic and Woody Allen-esque books I've ever read. The main
Wait, so there's molestation in it?
Oh, fuck
no! Whoa, we stop. Stop.
How do we not make
Woody Allen? I don't like it.
We have made a Woody Allen joke.
Don't like
no,
it.
But it was like about he was this boy that found out that scientists had figured out that protons could just disappear, which means eventually the whole universe is going to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this complete breakdown about it. And it's a great book, and it's so sad. It's just one. It's one of the realest books. That was me when I was younger. That was my big fear that we were all gonna disappear one day when we died.
Oh,
the
man.
Whole book's just about him coming to grips with the fact that we're all gonna die one day, and that he has to just like deal with that. It's an intense book. Intense.
I had a like almost like debilitating fear of aliens.
Like, of aliens?
Yeah, because I saw War of the Worlds, and that scared the shit out of me. Because it wasn't just the aliens; it was how like everyone was like turning against each other, and like.
It was just like, Tom Cruise's acting.
Oh,
you can defend him too?
No, I've never worked with him. The second he hires me for a movie, I'll defend him. Until now, he's a scumbum.
Actually, secret shame. I'm a huge Tom Cruise fan.
Really?
Huge Tom Cruise fan. I will watch almost anything with him.
You're trashing on Costner and you like the Cruise? Come on.
Have you seen Magnolia?
Yeah, Magnolia, he's great in. Can I throw some movies out at you? Field of Dreams. Bull Durham. Did I just derail this entirely?
Yeah, he's terrific.
He's great. Okay,
then good. Used an American Psycho to make him look crazy. Based on Tom Cruise.
Yeah, case in point. Tom Cruise is an axe murderer.
Taylor Sheen's overrated. Calling that. Same.
Nah, really.
Tom Cruise is so good though. Have you seen anything by him? He's great at everything.
Tom Cruise. I like three Tom Cruise movies. I like Magnolia. I like Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire's great, though.
Risky Business is really good.
All
Mission Impossibles.
Mission Impossibles are fun, yeah. They're fun.
I can't trust about Tom Cruise, though.
Yeah, he makes me uncomfortable.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
It was, do you guys listen to How Did This Get Made?
Yeah. Yes.
Danny Trejo was on, and he said that of all the stars in Hollywood that scare him the most, Tom Cruise is number one.
Yeah, I think Tom Cruise Trejo is really a big man.
Oh, and Tom Cruise is, like, 4'3" or something.
Yeah.
Not 4'3", but he's short, yeah.
Because Costner, that's a movie star you can trust. Kevin Costner. He's like a warm bath, you know?
Ugh. Warm baths get cold after a while, and then you just get wrinkly.
Not this one. Not this one. Costner never gets cold.
He's
the perfect bath.
He's the perfect
bath. When was the last good movie he made?
It's called Draft Day. It comes out April 11th. Theaters everywhere.
It's the next great Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
What if it gets nominated Best Picture?
Hey, it'd be great. I was cut out of a film nominated for Best Picture.
What movie?
Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
Oh, that's a terrible movie, though. So
yeah, it's an awful movie. I was cut out of it. I still get checks from like the DVD sales, even though I wasn't in it.
That's great, though.
I have no idea how that happened. I'm just very lucky.
I gotta go buy that movie, then.
Yeah.
It's just like a movie executive listens to this podcast and be like, stop sending checks to Griffin.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm not in the movie. I've seen it. I'm not in it. Conclusively.
Are you, like, in special features?
I don't know. Maybe. But, like once a year I get a check for, like, $150 that says, like, oh, pay-per-view. It, like, lists,
there's
like...
Pay-per-view. There's probably a blooper reel. Just like, look at this fucker Griffin Newman.
God. God, I was so bad.
Like, underscore of Yakety Sax the whole time.
Yakety Sax.
I have a job at my school's news, like at the television station now, and I edit stuff. Mm. And the first job I get, my boss goes, he's like, okay. He texted me and he's like, I have a special project. And I get there and he's like, since you're funny, you're going to edit bloopers. And I was like, thank you. And then he was like, okay. And I was like, all of these will be funnier once you put Yakety Sax on. And he didn't know what Yakety Sax was. And I was like, I had to kind of sing it.
Did you put Yakety Sax?
I was like, so uncomfortable.
Did you edit Yakety Sax into the blooper reel?
Not yet. I haven't finished the blooper reel. The worst part is it's all in Spanish because I edit Spanish news. But I don't know what they're saying. Oh, God.
Okay, but here's the good thing. If someone can edit for us Griffin spilling the coffee with Yakety Sax on loop, just Griffin.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Can I give you guys a really big scoop?
Yeah, sure.
And this is actually a big scoop?
First.
Yeah. You're going to hear it here now. First. Are we losing Naomi? What's going on here?
She'll be back soon.
Okay. Big scoop.
Go Griffin.
And this, you guys, this might upset you a lot, so I want you to be prepared.
You got cut out.
No. I'm in the movie. I'm in a lot of the movie. They did cut out the coffee spilling. only moment in the trailer is the one moment they cut out.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. I have like a good amount of screen time, but the coffee spill, zero coffee spills in the movie.
I can only imagine like Kevin Costner like fighting for that coffee spill, be like, this movie needs it.
Yes.
Like, I was in Waterworld. I know this stuff.
That was my introduction. That was supposed to be my first scene, was you see me spill the coffee. Relatable. You can relate to this guy. He's an everyman. And now it's gone.
Like, oh, we need a normal guy to help us with this draft day.
Yeah.
Spill your coffee on cue.
Yeah. But so my point is, now more than ever, someone needs to cut in that coffee spill to Yakety Sax, because that's the last we're ever going to see that coffee spill.
How many takes did that? How many takes did it take to get that?
I'd say probably, like, over 10.
So, like, what's the process of, like, cleaning up the coffee?
Well, I'm going to...
It was real coffee, right?
Yeah, it was real coffee. I'm going to pat myself on the back here. They had, like, a plastic sheet on the floor, and I, through my intense levels of physical control, made sure to spill forward every time so that the coffee didn't get on me at all. So that all they had to do was clean up the floor a little bit, but they didn't have to, like, change my outfit or anything like that.
Was Donnie Wahlberg in the corner just yelling, like, fucking act, man, fucking act?
Yeah, and he wasn't even in draft day, and he showed up just to give me notes. Just to be like, fucking listen, play it real.
That's terrific. The guy from New Kids on the Block was giving you acting notes.
Yeah. Who won in the fight, Donnie Wahlberg or Marky Mark?
Marky Mark's a badass. Have
Marky
you seen
Mark.
Him in the fighter?
Yeah.
No doubt. Monkey Mark was arrested for a hate crime, attempted murder when he was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
The dude is scary.
Yeah, it's a little fucked up, yeah.
And Donnie's not that big.
Here's the question. I take back calling him Marky Mark.
Yeah, call him Mark Wahlberg, man.
Mark Wahlberg, Mr. Marcus
L. Sir Marky Mark.
Academy Award nominee.
Yeah. No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was. Twice on, just because he produced The Fighter.
No, not The Fighter. He was not nominated for The Fighter.
He produced it. He got a nomination for producing it for Best Picture, and then he was also nominated for Best Supporting Actor for The Departed.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, The Departed was so good.
Can I bring something up quickly? Again, one of my tangents?
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it. I'll be sharing the address.
Lately, a lot of people have been asking me, am I gay? It's become something big now. And I was like, oh, I don't know why. Like, I think I act like a pretty just heterosexual male. But then the other day, we went to the children's hospital. And because my sister has a lazy eye, because she's a little freak. And on the TV was, I want to say, Good Luck Charlie. I don't know. Someone. And some guy pops on screen. And I don't know why, but out of nowhere, I just said, who is that breath of fresh air? And my mother looked at me and she goes, and you were asking me in the car earlier, how come people were asking you were gay when you say things like that? So... my overshare of the day.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
How do you find, because I know you've been very outspoken in sort of your central conflict in life being figuring out how to talk to girls, right?
Right.
Is
this helping or hurting now that?
this oversharing stuff?
No, now that apparently people think you're gay.
Oh, I don't know. They don't talk to girls. They're just guys at my school like, hey, you're gay, right, man? I'm like, no.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But the girls, you don't know if the girls think that.
I go to an all-boys school.
You go to an all-boys school. Well,
that's
now this all makes sense.
That's a problem, man.
Yeah,
that's like, go to, you want to talk to girls, go to an all-girls school. You got to transfer.
Just go to the mall, man.
Go to the mall.
I don't have a car. I can't drive.
You get to talk to me and Naomi every week, so.
Woo!
Oh, no!
No, but, like...
I'm more of a lady, though, guys.
The lady.
Just kidding. My mom tells me I'm not.
Oh. The all-boys stuff, though, it gets intense. Like, guys in locker rooms, it's the gayest you'll see straight guys act. Just stuff like that happen all the time. Like, last year, there was this one kid. I'd always walk in. He'd always have his shirt off, which isn't weird. But, like, I'd go to the corner, and I would try to change quietly because I was, like, uncomfortable with my body. And... this one kid would always out fail, be right behind me, like, hey, man, looking good. And he'd hug me from behind, and I'd be wrestling. And I'm like, this is weird. Stop doing this to me, please. And that's how every single changing would go that year, so that was pretty cool.
Like, that's the beginning of a gay porn, right?
Guys, I'm a gay porn star.
Also, was that boy just...
Was that
boy just always in the locker room?
Yeah, always. Just always
there. He doesn't go to class.
He just doesn't leave?
He just lives there. He's just a figment of Andres' imagination.
I have a serious question. I'm just curious. Do all of you do you or have you gone to schools with like locker rooms and stuff?
Yeah.
No. Paige hasn't. Okay. Because I never went to a school that had like a locker room kind of deal. And when I see it in movies, I thought it was just a weird contrivance. Like it was like a thing they made up.
Nah, it's real, man. It's real and it's spectacular.
I always get mad when movies like give you like in a movie where like or a TV show where the bell will ring and then people will go to class. Like
sure.
You don't have that time to like dick around in the hallways like people make it. Like if you are outside of the classroom and the bell rings, you're late for class.
Oh, Naomi, we went to very different schools because dicking around in between classes was exactly my game.
Yeah, that's me. That's me all the time.
Yeah, well, like I would dick around like if I had a free period afterwards, but like my teachers were like not happy if you were late, so like I was always on time.
Our school was so lax. Like people would just like go to diners in the middle of the school.
You went to the Hyphy Academy, right? Isn't that where you went to school?
No.
I love telling this story.
And I feel like whenever I tell this story enthusiastically to people, they think I'm fucking crazy because I'm way too enthusiastic about
father. Royce, well adjusted.
Well adjusted. I can see the air quotes I just did there. But so there's this disgruntled student who had a former student who had like
locked out like 4 years.
And so apparently what happened was
you've got mail.
Got what? He got his mom to drive him to our school with a guitar case and a tactical vest. And on the tactical vest was a bunch of pipe bombs. And in the guitar case was like
a ninja sword
and a chainsaw. Yeah.
A ninja sword. That's a good weapon.
Was the pipe bomb vest visible? Like his mom was like, "Oh, I like what you're putting on today." Like,
I have no idea. The rumor is that like he told her that it was a photo shoot or something like that.
So she's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're in class. It happened right outside our classroom. And this kid gets like sent out because he was kind of the ne'er-do-well and he was drinking tea and she's like, "Go outside and drink that tea."
He was drinking tea, what a ne'er-do-well.
I know, right? Iced tea.
Oh, so shit.
He was chilling in the doorway and then like you hear out of the corner of my ear, he's just like, "What are you doing, man? What are you doing?" And like I remember like vaguely in retrospect hearing someone trying to start a chainsaw. But then all of a sudden, like the ne'er-do-well slams the door. He yells like, "There's a guy with a pipe bomb out there." And I remember in my head, I'm just like, "What the fuck, Logan? Like, what are you?
What the fuck?
You're talking like, what lie are you telling now?" Then all of a sudden, just giant explosion, right? And like, we freak out and like run to one corner of the room, and then there's another explosion in like that corner. And so we run to the other corner of the room, and then it's just kind of like silent for like 15 minutes while we like weigh everything out.
Oh my god.
People are just like freaking out, like trying to text people. This one girl in our class, who's just the worst, was crying, saying, "I'm too pretty to die."
No!
Dead serious. And like, I was scared shitless. And even then, I was just like, "That's ridiculous." And then, so all of a sudden, like, I forgot how we figured out. We got texts that like the dude was caught, and we hear like, how did the cops open the door?
It was like a knock on the door.
Just like,
we had like the automatic locking.
Yeah, so we had automatic locking doors. And then like the doors open, it's like the sheriff with like his badge on his neck and like a revolver. There's like smoke everywhere and like SWAT teams like in the hallways and like get us the hell out of the hallway.
We smoked him out. Did I say that?
And
no.
But then we went to, that was the end of the day.
They had to take us to like a nearby middle school.
Yeah, and where we just like chilled. Like, we didn't know really what happened. So apparently, what, like, explosion, fire alarms went off. So people were like out in the halls and shit while this dude was running around. He couldn't start the chainsaw, thank God. Don't know where the sword went. What happened was everyone's running around, and one of the teachers, who's like 6'6", like saw him and was like, "What are you doing?" And like, he didn't answer. He's like, "What are you doing?" He didn't answer, so the teacher just grabbed him in a bear hug, threw him on the ground.
Oh,
and like, him and a bunch of teachers just held this fool down with the tactical vest with like pipe bombs around it until the cops came. And, like, complete heroes.
Good for that teacher. Holy
cow. Yeah.
Seriously.
It was the craziest freaking
great
day.
Story, Royce. Holy.
Oh my God.
Funny thing about that, one of our friends would have been walking in the halls because he had a free period. He would just like hang out in the halls like people do. But he had to take a really fat dump. So he went to school. So he showed up. He literally showed up as we're walking to the middle school. And he's like, "What happened? Why is there constantly a guy bombed the school? What were you doing?" He's like,
"Guy bombed my toilet." High fiving friends.
After that, a couple of our friends were going to be on the Today Show.
Oh, yeah.
Who died?
Ted Kennedy died, so they were in the Today Show. Like, there was a camera crew in their like house, got to skip school, and then that morning Ted Kennedy died, so their statement got cut.
Not Ted Kennedy, rest in peace, big guy.
Yeah. That's a story.
Did anybody get hurt or no?
No one got hurt at all. Like, our security officer, like, apparently he like threw a pipe bomb at her, and like she jumped over it, and it was like faulty, and
it was
just
like
kind of exploded out the side instead of exploding out. Like, it just hit.
Like, the
caps.
Two ends just popped
off. Wow. So that's a story.
Oh.
That's amazing.
But Griffin, you on Blue Bloods, right?
I was, yeah, two times.
Sorry, that was a really long story.
No, well, you need to turn that into a stand-up bit, like, if anything, because I feel like...
Know.
That, no, your friend, like, needing to take a shit is, like, the best punchline in the world. Like, you need to tell that to the world.
I feel like everyone thinks it's so heavy. Like, I don't know. Like, to us, it's funny because the dude, like, in retrospect, was the most incompetent fool ever.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't hurt one person.
To injure someone.
Yeah. Like,
that's
literally,
funny.
Like, he fucked up one tile in the hallway that they replaced.
Yeah,
they,
I feel like if
it.
Nobody gets hurt,
it's hilarious.
Yeah, like,
yeah, everyone has, like, bomb
food stories.
You have, like, an actual bomb story.
Yeah, my school had bomb threats.
Yeah.
Somebody wanted to bomb the school on, like, Hitler's birthday.
Oh.
And, like,
oh,
they made, like, a...
God.
It never happened. But, like, I remember that day was, like... I wasn't in high school at that point. I think I was in, like, eighth grade. And, like, the whole, like, middle school was, like, so nervous. And, like, people didn't go to school and shit. And it never happened, but they found the people. I think they made, like a post on, I guess, MySpace. I don't know what was, I don't remember what was popular at that point.
Oh,
but they
MySpace
found the
post.
Kids that made that post. And, like, they, like, took them down. And it was, like, a girl on my softball team's brother. And I thought he was a pretty, like, decent guy, but apparently he wanted to blow the whole fucking school up.
There are a lot of white people where you guys live.
It's a lot of white people, yeah.
Yeah, white people are the worst.
Just right,
worst?
What? White
am I right,
worst?
White people are the worst.
Yeah, I hate that happening so much.
Right now it's about 50% not white, 50% white, so we got like, a little race war going on right now.
Oh, yeah, kind of, yeah. Well,
yeah,
they're
like
half white.
Caramel
we're
versus
half
vanilla.
So we only count collectively as one white person.
Yeah, like the one set of... We each of you a half.
How white are you, Andres?
None. Zero.
You're a
little, actually, no.
Zero.
No, my mom is 50% Polish, 50% Peruvian. And
Polish is white.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess. Fuck. Damn it, I'm what I hated the most.
So we're like 1 1/4 minorities here.
Yeah, I guess.
Give
yeah.
us your full
one
ethnic
of,
makeup.
Although we got
on
a couple Jews, like.
One of those.
Oh,
I was
Naomi.
Saying, like, well, like, I'm Jewish, so I'm a minority, technically.
Oh, shut up. Oh, poor you.
The discrimination you face is nothing compared to my life.
Like, oh, no, I have a Star of David. Oh, wow. Chill out, Naomi.
One,
God.
Once a kid called me a chink.
Whoa!
Oh, boo.
I've been called. I was in third grade. A kid came up to me and he said, "Why don't you just go back to China?" And I was like, "Whoa! First off, terrible insult. Second of all, not correct."
It's always China, too.
Yeah. Not Chinese.
I feel like people maybe assume that because it's the most populated, like, Asian country, yes, that there's a good chance.
Well, like, what racist is going to be like, why don't you go back to Seoul, North Korea? Because I know all about countries as well as racism.
Yeah, I don't think it's very many educated people saying,
if you ever tell anyone to go back to North Korea, would you be like, how did you get out? Tell me that story.
I want to be your friend more than anything.
Guys, remember when this was a podcast about TCGS?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
There was that episode when they spoke four languages, so that's true.
Oh, yeah.
But this is the best. This has been our best episode by far.
Hey, you know what? I was the final caller on that episode.
Hey.
The foreign language bingo. I called in and made everyone say fuck Philadelphia. We're tying it all together.
You'd be in the chat, chatting back to Griffin. You'd be in the chat before you really appeared on the show, right?
Yeah. Well, I went live most weeks, but when I wasn't seeing it live in the studio, I'd be in the chat usually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, like, I can't do the chat.
I think I remember we had like some bit where like we were going to like overthrow the Tyrant Gethard.
That was me.
Yeah.
I started that.
Yeah,
I started Tyrant Gethard.
And I think that we made that Facebook group, and I think you joined it or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think my biggest chat room bit I did was I started the Murph Emmy campaign.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
During the Conspiracy Theory Gary show.
Bo Montez.
Yeah, Bo Montez for Best Supporting Actor.
I
like the pages back. Keep going, Royce.
There are bits that exist only, like, in the chat.
Yeah.
That, like, people kind of don't know about. And this is, like, venturing a little bit into chatting rats territory, their jurisdiction.
Calm down, Royce, calm down.
Well, guys.
But, like...
Guys, grab your ice cream cones, because I'm about to give you a couple good scoops.
Oh, fuck off.
No!
Sarsaparilla.
A scoop of sarsaparilla punch.
It's Weston Month here on Teams Talking to Teams.
I had sarsaparilla, and then it was at home, but I don't have it anymore.
I was in the chat room for the pilot taping. There was, like, a group of folks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, 10. It was mostly improvisers, like UCB people. And we were all downstairs from the studio watching a live feed and then chatting. And we came up with some really, really good bits that only existed in the chat room. There was a character named Lord Zord. And he was our supreme leader. And we were just trying to get Bethany to invoke Lord Zord on the show. There were a lot of Zord chants. We really wanted Michael Cera and Chris Gethard to butt kiss. We wanted their butts to kiss.
That's super
all very accurately.
Were there any God is real chants?
Yeah, I think there were some God is real chants.
Yeah, that always gets ridiculous.
Oh, no, you know what we did? We did Zord is real. That's what we did. We did Zord is real, and then occasionally someone would jump in with a, like, oh my God, I have a paper due tomorrow. I haven't even started. Which felt accurate.
The story of my life watching TCGS.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that bad for us because it's only at 8.
Oh.
Wait, the chat rats, when did that become a thing that, like, was something? Because Gethard always just gave it a shout out, like, hey, chat rats, but when did that become an actual,
like,
thing?
The bit between the tension with the.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought you started that, Andres. I thought you were really the leader of, like, the chat rat rivalry thing.
People say that. I would go to chat room, I'd say hi, and not say anything else for the rest of the
time. Yeah, I've never.
Yeah, no, Andres sometimes. Well, like, I feel like it's because Andres would often be on the line, and then, like, the information would get.
Right.
And then they'd get credited with Andres.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who is, like, the original chat rat?
That's a good question. I would like to get them on the show and talk to them.
The original chat rat.
The first person ever be in the chat. I don't know. I can't do this. I tried to, like, be a chat rat, but, like, I couldn't watch the show and then read all of the damn messages that would pop up.
It's also,
so I just, like, I was like, I give up. I'll just go on Tumblr and, like...
It's hard to keep up. Everyone's typing so fast.
I got decently good at it. Like,
yeah, you get used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So being able to watch both at the same time. Before, I would have to, like, go back and like, watch it at the same time. Now I can kind of follow.
I don't have the time for that.
But, like, a lot of what's in the chat is pretty superfluous. Like, half the time it's just, like, God is real. Or, like,
well, people just, like, being, like, excited about stuff.
Hey, God is real is never superfluous. That's always important to say.
But whenever anyone shows up in the chat, like, everyone just, like, says their name in all caps. Like,
yeah.
Like, hey!
That's always nice.
Cheers. Yeah, it's the coolest thing.
Yeah, it's a good community. I feel like that's really cliche. Like, glad I said that.
Well, Chris and I were talking in the car yesterday. What were you going to say?
What?
Talking to CGS?
About how, with the podcast and, like, the community and everything like that, like, it's a community that's almost, like, based less on the show, especially because the show isn't currently on the air,
mm-hmm.
more, like, based around the people in the community. It's almost at a point where it's self-sustaining. I don't know if you guys
agree. Here's a question I want to pose to the group, because I've been thinking about this, seriously. Do you think half of the podcasts are going to just stop once the show is back on MNN?
I don't know.
Because I kind of feel like the big podcast explosion has been, like, we need to fill this space, you know? There is this community that's developed, and now the show is not there on a weekly basis. We need a place we can all check in. We need things that we can all listen to and comment on and respond to and everything. And I wonder if, I mean, we have no plans to end our podcast. You folks are going strong. I hope it never ends. But I feel like a lot of these other podcasts that are popping up, I wonder if once the show is back, they're going to have the energy to still do it, if they're going to feel the need to still do it, you know?
My theory is that a lot of these podcasts stem from jokes. Like, this was a total joke.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just happened.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't know, I haven't gotten a chance to listen to a lot of them, but, like, for us, this is, like, me hanging out with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Which is awesome.
Very key thing to say.
Yeah. Well, that was what TCGS became for me when I started going to college. Was like, I didn't have many friends, and it was a hard adjustment. So I was like, oh, these are my friends on the internet. And
right.
And so I think that, like, maybe some people, like, won't have the time to commit to it anymore, which is fine. That's not to say, like, they're pussying out or anything. But I think that once this is almost like a way to hold ourselves over until the show comes back.
Right, right. That's what I felt like, yeah.
Yeah, and I can definitely see, like, why people might just sort of abandon ship once the show comes back. But
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like I like that everyone has these podcasts because it's just something that's really fun. So I hope that people keep doing that because they find it really to be really fun.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, folks, I mean, we're really excited to have new episodes to talk about.
Oh,
on our podcast, but a big impetus in starting the podcast in the first place was to have something to fill the gap while the show was on break, you know? We were kind of doing a favor to the show by making some sort of weekly content that everyone could respond to. And now it's rolling stone gathers moss. I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's game momentum.
Think,
now there's a whole thing. It's self-sustaining.
I think a weird thought, for me at least, is that my mom, she's pregnant, and she's going to have a son. So I'm going to be 32. Thank you. What did I say? I'm going to have a son. I'm going to have a brother. Oh,
right.
That's terrible.
Oh, God.
When I'm 32, though, she'll be 16. He'll be 16.
Yeah.
And I thought it would just be weird because if he ever did find this show and just, I don't know, found a podcast or something, I thought it was such a weird thought because you don't really think about TCGS, how future people are going to look at it. Like, if, let's say this does, like we hope, become big on Comedy Central and stuff.
Right.
This could be, like, one of those shows where people go back and watch, like, the podcast.
Yeah.
TV version of it.
Yeah.
Which is a really weird thought that people from, like, whenever Chris used to be, like, if just from the future watching this, I'd always picture, like, at most, a year in the future. Someone watched, I found it like a year late. But to think that 10 years from now, someone could be like watching that and him saying, if you're in the future watching this, it's a really weird thought.
It is a little terrifying to me that like everything lasts now. Like everything is captured on the internet and then sticks around forever, you know?
Yeah, that's
that'll
terrifying.
Be named live.
It's kind of, yeah, it's kind of terrifying. Like, especially if you're just trying to, like, start out doing things. Because everyone sucks at, like, creating things.
Yeah.
For the most part. And, like, before, I feel like it just, like, whatever stupid comedy skit you did would just, like, rust in, like, a cardboard box.
Right.
But now it's, like, people can talk shit about it, like, immediately after, like, it's posted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And especially if you're just sort of like developing and trying stuff out and trying to figure out how to not be terrible, you know, I mean, before you even get to being good, you just have to figure out how to not be bad. And now all that stuff you do where you're trying to not be bad is like still Googleable. I don't know. Like 2 years ago, I was very drunk and I did this bit where I was in a room with all of my best friends, all the guys I texted about Hallie and Chris kissing. It was like that group of guys. And I did this bit where while I was in the room with them, they weren't paying attention, and I posted videos on all of their Facebook walls wishing a happy birthday to someone named Marcus, even though none of them were named Marcus. I've made videos as if I was talking to Marcus and posted them on all their walls, and they were different videos. And I thought it was really funny. Like, I was really proud of myself. It was funny. But I was drunk, and I was saying nonsense. And then, like, a year ago, I started getting, like, a couple – like big acting jobs in a row, and immediately my friend started reposting those videos. And there's nothing in them that's incriminating, but they're funny. Also not really what I want people seeing. Like, I don't know. I was proud of the work I'd done at the time, but now I think about how many things I've done that it still exists on the internet that I don't ever want people seeing.
Right. Yeah.
Not even make a joke. That's a very teen thing. Like,
that's a very teen thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
This is the first generation where that's an issue. Where we
have
all this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, people are vicious. Like, even well-meaning people are vicious.
I have tons of memories of just like. Bleh. Yeah. No.
Well,
I get nervous about like if people can see my tweets from like I tweeted. I feel like those would be really embarrassing.
Or like God help it, like you accidentally say something offensive, you know?
Oh, God, yeah.
But like, yeah, like I would never want to actually like hurt or offend someone, but like God knows what I did 2 years ago on Twitter, right?
Yeah. I did, you know, you can do that thing. They added a new feature where you can like download all of your tweets to your whole log. And I went back and saw, like, my first 6 months of tweets. And I remember at the time, I was like, I can't believe I don't have 20,000 followers. Like, I'm throwing out solid gold every hour. And then I look back at them, and they're horrifying.
Like, just bad? Or just, like, what? Like,
I mean, they're bad in terms of, like, structure. Like, there's no art to them. I didn't really have a handle on the language yet. But also, they're, like, the things I'm saying are just so embarrassing. I don't know. I would just, like, live tweet being at, like, a restaurant and seeing a girl I thought was pretty and not talking to her. And I would just, for 2 hours, tweet about how I didn't have the courage to talk to her. And at the time, I was like, I can't believe I'm not getting famous. This stuff is gold. And now I look back, and it's so earnest and horrifying.
What's so horrifying about this stuff?
I like earnestness to a degree. This was a horrifying level of earnestness. And in a way,
like,
I think that bit could be done well. But looking at it, it was not done well. I didn't do it with much grace.
Has anybody ever looked at their Facebook feed?
Yes.
Isn't it the worst?
Yeah.
I joined in like 2008. So I was like just going into high school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a mess. And I've deleted, like, pretty much every status update, and I'll find more. But, like, I'm, like, such a meticulous Facebook cleaner because I hate it, and I never want people to come across it. And so when people, like, have, like, really – I don't know. I can't deal with people who have, like, really embarrassing Facebook photos. I'm like, why don't you just delete them? Like, if I look through your profile pictures and there's, like, a really terrible photo, I'm like, you're an adult. Delete them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. I get really paranoid about that stuff.
I like once a year will go back to my MySpace profile because it's like a little time capsule of embarrassing things. I have all these terrible blog posts from MySpace. Like I wrote a whole blog post about why Francis Ford Coppola wasn't a good director, which is clearly me just being 15 and trying to be controversial. Like, just be like, he ain't worth shit. And it's terrible, and I act like I'm the only right person in the world. I act like everything I'm saying is, like, an empirical truth.
Oh, my God.
I never have a MySpace, so when people talk about it, I still don't have a clear image.
Yeah, what is, like, I always thought it was, like, the bands and stuff.
Well, before... Before bands took over, it was a place for friendship. It really was.
I remember being on MySpace, and, like, I was not in no way popular in middle school. And, like, I just remember making a MySpace for, like, all the drama that happened. It was called UVMS Drama, and I was like, I'll get people to message me the drama that's going on in middle school, and I will have the dirt on everybody, and therefore I will have power.
That's, like, sociopathic.
But I remember... Yeah.
I was so unpopular, though.
That's the thing, is, like, I was, like, beyond unpopular in middle school, because I had, like... I was so lame, and, like, that was a point where, like, if you didn't wear Abercrombie & Fitch, you weren't cool. Oh, and my mom wasn't going to buy me Abercrombie & Fitch, and so, like, I was, like... emotionally devastated that I was never going to be popular.
Can we just go through what everyone wore in middle school? Because I wore, like, exclusively, like, cargo shorts or, like, those pants that were, like, both pants and shorts that you could zip, right? And then
that's great.
Because I had an assortment of Old Navy t-shirts in, like, different colors, and, like, that's about it. Like,
I wore Avril Lavigne's clothing line from Kohl's, which was, like, yeah. I still have some of the sweatshirts. It was, like, it's this black sweatshirt with, like, a pink inlay, and then just every obnoxious color you can think of, stars, all on the sweatshirt. And they're pretty decent size, like, stars. It's the most obnoxious thing I think I've ever seen in my life.
Were you, like, really
and I wore
into
that. I wasn't really even into Avril Lavigne, but, like, it was, like, in my middle school, it was, like, the preppy kids who wore, like, Abercrombie and Hollister, and then, like, emo kids, we called ourselves, which is really funny. Because, like, we weren't very emo. And all the ones that kind of stuck with it, like they turned into the people that, like, did drugs and terrified me in high school. So I was just like, fight the system or whatever as a young kid, because I just didn't fit in with the popular kids. And I remember, like, putting on a lot of black. Like, I didn't even wear eyeliner or anything. I just, like, wore a lot of black and ripped jeans. And I was like, I'm cool. I'm not normal. I'm not conforming.
I wore a lot of sweatpants. And
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of Puma shirts.
of course, a lot of Puma shirts.
I went my this is really bad. In seventh grade, my dad, he got me these Billabong skateboarding shirts. I didn't skateboard, and it was so, they did not fit me well. And I was a chubby kid, so it was rough. Oh, and I had that. Then I wore a beret for a lot of 8th grade year.
Ooh.
Oh,
no!
Gosh.
Ooh.
I
want to
see pictures of that.
No pictures, thankfully.
Oh, I remember, did you guys have this where, like, in middle school, you got, like, one cool shirt? I got, like, two cool shirts, and I would wear that shit all the time. It was, like,
that's
this
me.
Green
Quicksilver. That's me now.
Page now.
It's true. I wear this shirt all the time.
What does it say?
I cannot see it.
Sorry.
What about you, Griffin? It was like the 90s. What'd you wear?
Back in the 90s? I wore an embarrassing amount of Abercrombie & Fitch. That was like my clothing brand.
So you were one of the cool kids.
I guess. I don't know. I don't think anyone thought I was cool. I think they criticized me for wearing too much Abercrombie & Fitch. I was like a big Gap guy, and then I switched to Abercrombie. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I wasn't too embarrassing in middle school. My fashion choices in high school were really embarrassing. I had this Britney Spears tour t-shirt that I wore all the time because I thought it was funny. Yeah, it was sarcastic, but it was very small. Like, I'm a small guy, and it was too small for me. So it was like a belly shirt, kind of. Like, like the bottom of my stomach, my non-existent belly, I mean, because I was skeletal, would, like, kind of peek out. And I had really long hair. That was the other thing.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
oh.
I wanted to, like, be, like, I think I wanted to look like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible 2.
Yeah, everybody wants to be Tom Cruise.
Yeah, that was the best hair that anyone ever had. But I don't like him as an actor, but that was good hair. So I wanted to have really long hair, but I didn't understand that hair came in different types. I didn't understand that, like, oh, he has straight hair and I have curly hair. So I just kept on growing it out, thinking that one day it would be like this cool slick back thing. And instead, I just looked like a brunette carrot top. Like, I just had, like, it was just, like, big. It just went out to the sides. It was terrible. It looked the worst, yeah.
Well, like, Chris, in, like, freshman year of high school, just, like, didn't cut his hair. Like,
yeah, I was just too lazy to get a haircut.
Really, yeah.
And, like, it froed out. Like,
that's cool.
You look on his Facebook.
Yeah.
And there are pictures on his Facebook that are just amazing.
Not many pictures, actually. But I think
that
wasn't that documented.
I'll tell you another bad, I don't even know if I can file it under fashion choices, but my worst visual trait in high school was I had a nervous tic where I would rub my eyebrows, and I did it so persistently that I ended up rubbing out a lot of the hair in my eyebrows, so I kind of didn't have eyebrows for a couple of years there. Yeah, it was terrible. It was off. I look back at photos now, and I look like Whoopi Goldberg. Like, I did have eyebrows, but they were so faint.
I had a nervous tic where I would, like, pull my hair out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I pulled enough of it out where I had a big bald spot in the back of my head
that I had
to, like, cover up. And
yeah.
It's, like, You just can't stop, and, like, I've met people that pull out their eyebrow hair and
yeah.
stuff like that. It's like, one time I cut off part of my eyebrow because I thought it was too long. I was like,
ooh.
Eight.
Yeah. No, my sister started doing the eyebrow thing, Romley, like a year or two ago. And I was like, you have to stop doing that. And she was like, you don't understand. It's just like, it's something that calms me down. I was like, I do understand. And I also had to spend 3 years without eyebrows. Like, stop it before it's too late.
I don't think I do this anymore, but back when I was really, really, like, nervous anxiety, I had to do everything in, like, threes. Like, I wouldn't be okay unless things were done in threes.
Yeah.
So if I walk out of my house, I'd have to, like, shake my hand with the keys, like, three times. I'd have to, like, touch the doorknob three times. It was really bad. It was really bad. And, yeah, that was a really weird time. And I think now it only comes up when I'm really, really anxious. Like, if I'm, like, when I went to the Front Bottoms concert, because Geth is doing stand-up, I didn't know anybody.
I think that's a good way to tie back to Gethard when he contributed to last week's topic about Andres, and he said, quote, when Andres came to the Front Bottom show in Bushwick, and I thought his head was going to explode.
Yeah, that was terrifying. I was surrounded by, I met Griffin's friend, some girl.
Oh, Lucy Randall, host of No Wrong Answers, my favorite podcast that I'm now going to plug for the second time.
She was really nice, and she, like, came over to talk to me
about
you, Griffin.
Lucy's the best.
Griffin. Yeah, she's really nice. She's, like, she's known you since, like, fifth grade or something. You're the young, I don't know.
Yeah, she went to that summer camp that I went to. I ended up working there as a counselor, and she was one of my campers when I was a counselor.
What? Yeah.
What?
She was really nice. Before that, I was in there, and I didn't realize, like, a lot of teenagers, but then a teenager that I do not associate with, and I was standing there. Looking
what?
Like, not cool teenagers, like the type of teenagers that listen to cool music and have girlfriends. Like, that's a subsection of teenagers, in my opinion. And
none of us are part of.
And the worst part, I went to go to this thing and went to go pick up my ticket. They had lost a sheet of emails that were like, okay, these people they're going to pick up a roll call. They lost that sheet. So they go, can you show it to us on an iPhone, and, like, I don't have a smartphone. So, and they're like, who doesn't have a smartphone? It's, like, 2013. It was 2013 back then. And I was like, I don't have a smartphone. So some guy had to run to Kinko's to get the ticket out just so I could go to the concert. And people were filing by me, just looking at me with, like, pity in their eyes. Like, look at you, you poor, like, 14-year-old-looking boy. 14. And it was terrible standing by myself. Then finally Geth came over and gets like, hey, how you doing, man? They're like, oh, this is so bad. I hate being here so much right now.
Andres, you shouldn't feel, I didn't have an iPhone until Christmas this year. And, like, my parents never got me one, so I had that same struggle where I was going to go to the Front Bottoms concert the day before, but I didn't have an iPhone, and I was scared to go to the city alone and die because I'm not good with directions. And so I was like, you know what? I just gave my ticket to someone else. I was like, I can't go. I don't have an iPhone. That was really the deciding factor.
Griffin, did you have an iPhone when you were a teenager?
No. I'm trying to think. I feel like I didn't get an iPhone until after I dropped out of college. Maybe I got one at 19. Maybe that's when I got it, right at 19. This is thrilling information here. Yeah. No, I had a flip phone for a very, very long time.
Flip phone!
I remember my mom told me that she could get me a Razor, and that was in, fourth grade.
Those
and
are so cool.
All the cool kids had Razors, and my mom told me she could give me a Razor, and I went nuts. I was going up to guys, like, there were these cool kids that I did not associate with, but I walked up and I'm like, hey, I just want you guys to know that you pick on me, but I'm getting a Razor. And they're like, oh, really? And then it fell through, and my mom couldn't give me a Razor.
Oh.
And she got me some really shitty, bulky fucking phone that I pulled out for a screensaver. And the cook was like, let's see your Razor, man. Let's see your Razor.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I left that at home. I don't have my Razor with me right now.
Like a cast member on, like, Saved by the Bell? That sounds like a teenage sitcom plot. Like, down to the T.
It basically was. That was my... Like I said, I had a terrible elementary school life. There was a lot of being called gay puma boy. And then middle school wasn't better because I was really, really awkward. I had a beret. Why was I wearing a beret? I don't know.
Like, was it Samuel L. Jackson?
No. I went straight on like I was Ratatouille. I used to walk around like that. And I thought it was the coolest thing ever. I thought it was awesome. And then I was watching Scrubs, going back to Scrubs from last week. And there's an episode where... I want to say Turk has a beret, a Kangle, and I think that's what it's called. And they're just making fun of him the whole episode, but then at the end, an ostrich wears it. This is such a weird plot.
I remember that exactly.
And Zach Braff goes, that ostrich looks good in that. And I was like, I'm that ostrich, man. I'm that ostrich.
Andres, can I go back to something you said and explore this further? You said I wore my beret straight like Ratatouille.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember any berets in Ratatouille.
Okay, that's the thing. Okay, go. Thank you. Great point. I was called Ratatouille, and I fought vehemently saying Ratatouille never wears a beret. He never wears a beret.
Well, first of all, his name isn't Ratatouille. The character's name is Remy. There's no one in the film called Ratatouille. Ratatouille's
a
douche.
That's true.
Yeah.
I like Ratatouille a lot. I'm going to be hard on this subject. I'm going to be diligent.
Can I say that I wear my beret like straight like Ratatouille sounds like a rap lyric.
That is a good line. That's a good line to drop.
My rap album dropping. It's called Black Panties. It's called Caramel Panties.
Caramel Panties dropped to my seventh.
I wear my beret straight like Ratatouille.
How long is this episode?
Hood Rise of Ratatouille.
Oh,
it's really long.
And I need to leave in like 10 minutes.
Do you guys?
I knew Paige had to go. Paige had this look on her face the last 30 minutes. Like, I need to say something, but I don't want to. And I was going to have to go, Paige.
Do you folks edit these episodes at all?
At one point, what did we talk shit about someone? And we
okay.
Or like, since someone's real name. Other than that, I bleep things out in the first episode.
Oh, because I brought up Chris and the thing he brought up with Hallie.
No, we're
at
not
the pilot. Yeah, not going to that.
Pilot information. Other than that, it's just completely just like thrown off.
So there, someone's gonna have to listen to 2 hours of this, right?
Yeah. I mean,
someone
I feel like if you got to this point, tweeted us hashtag I wear my beret straight like Ratatouille.
That's a long hashtag, Andre.
Tweet it, guys. Tweet it.
I'm gonna have to. Listen to the first half because I missed
Should
it.
Should we
all.
Cut
oh,
it into
you
a
did say a couple weeks ago.
I would ask that. I think
we're better
hard.
Than talking TCBS because
like
we have long episodes that are just one episode.
That's true.
Yeah, we.
You have better bandwidth than we do. Yeah.
So
the sole purpose of this
because Royce paid for it.
I pay $10 a month for the bandwidth.
You dropping that bandwidth money, Royce?
Podcast. What?
You laying down those bandwidth bills? Making that bandwidth cheddar?
Big money.
When my rap
money.
Album drops, I'll support us, guys. Don't worry.
Great.
We're all good.
Thank you. We should start selling ads like Stamped.
I told those
get an
guys.
Audible thing.
Guest
Griffin
sponsor.
Was off. Wait, Griffin, you told me at the bar you were offered an advertisement.
I was, yeah, I was. We were. Talking What's to CGS, we got an email about an advertiser. There, it was a different podcast wanted to advertise on our podcast.
Oh, yeah. Really?
And we never responded, and Riley and I have still never talked about it. We never even discussed the idea. I think we just both independently read the email and then didn't talk about it.
I mean, I think as teens, we all agreed. Any ad will accept. We need that cheddar.
Oh, no, you should sell out. Make that cheddar. Make that cheddar. Pay them bills.
Boy bands are having integrity, so why would the podcast equivalent of a boy band slash girl band?
Yeah, you sexist. Yeah. It's a boy and girl band. Co-ed band.
Maybe I can set something up where Talking TCGS advertises on Teens Talking TCGS. We have a paid sponsorship.
Let's do it. Isn't your presence enough?
I don't know. Is it?
That felt like
the Griffin bump.
The Griff bump?
That felt like when your dad's like, I can pay you money to go pick up all the leaves outside.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like money for chores.
You just compare Griffin to a dad.
Yeah, I'm a dad.
No, Griffin, you're a dilf. Congratulations.
Thank you. Oh, God.
You're a dad, dad boy.
Dad boy.
Weird. That reminded me. Did you realize that, like, your brother is going to be the same distance roughly between you and Gether?
I was thinking the same
thing. Yes, I have. And actually, when my mom first told that to me, I started bawling my eyes out, and she's like, oh, you're so happy. I'm like, no, it's just that you're going to be dead by the time he's this age, and I'm going to be 32 and he's 16. Oh. And she left the room crying. And then my stepfather was just like, oh, why'd you say that? And I was like,
do you have any other siblings, Andres?
I do, a 12-year-old sister and a lazy eye.
Oh, right, okay.
And I have two stepbrothers.
But 16 is a big gap.
It is a huge gap. So, like, I'm going to be basically...
Yeah.
Not really a brother, kind of. It's more like a parent, or like a parental figure.
My sister and I, we have 9 years, and even that's big, and I feel like I'm kind of half-brother, half-parent to her. But you're going to have an additional 7 years on that.
Yeah, my sister and I have 9 years, too. Although, I do know someone who has 16 years.
Andres?
Someone else who has 16 years.
Me and my brother, two minutes, man.
It's 2 minutes.
2 minutes. But Paige, your friend who has 16 years, how did their relationship turn out?
I don't know, because I'm actually, like, the person I know who's 16 years older than her sister is actually older than me, and I was, like, friends with her other sister.
Okay.
So I don't know her as well.
Interesting. Wow.
But I think the relationship's fine. She might have gotten mistaken for her sister's mom one time at the store.
That would give me a breakdown if, like, someone asked me in, like, a mall, like, is that your son you're with?
Oh.
You just start crying in the mall?
I start crying fucking up everything. I just cry at everything. I was watching Nebraska the other day, which is a sad movie, so I call it that.
Oh, yeah. Such a good movie.
The scene where Bruce Dern takes back the fake contest winning and then...
Well, no spoilers, Andres.
Okay,
bleep
I'm
it out.
Sorry.
Spoilers.
Bleep it out.
Can I bleep that out? No. Oh, I'm going to have to fucking bleep to the 3 hours.
What is the runtime? How long have we been recording now?
Hour 45 minutes.
Okay, because we had that false start. We did record like 10 minutes and then throw them out, right?
So I'm going to have to cut a little bit out.
Well, we're here. Let's just be 12-hour podcast.
Should we just, is there one for the long haul?
12-and-a-half-hour podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
All you have to do is do 12 hours in 1 minute, right?
Right.
I think
they went a little over 12 hours.
Really? What's their final run time? Let's see.
I don't know. I listened to all of it, though.
Jeez.
How was that?
That's the only one I haven't.
I thought it was really awesome, and I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. Like, be like, oh, you have to listen to this. Like, it's required listening. But, like, I'm really fascinated by, like, listening to, like, JD and Connor talk, because they're very fascinating people, and so, like, them just talking was so interesting, and everything they said was hilarious, so I was, like, super into it, and I just kept listening.
Connor, when he was in San Francisco for Sketchfest, refused to get a ride from me.
Why?
Because we were at the soda store when I met up, and he had a choice he didn't refuse. He had a choice between two rides, and he went with the other people because the night before I drove on the wrong side of the road.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Who are the other people?
Grace was like, you're going to take a ride with me, Connor. You're going to take a ride with me.
Put him in the trunk.
When I went to the Massachusetts show, there was this, that was a whole adventure because I didn't know where the hotel was when we finally got to the hotel, and no one was there. I was the only person there. Ooh. And they had posted on Facebook, we're all at this French fry place on some random address. So I just walked in that direction hoping to find it. And I was so scared because I almost got hit by a car twice. Then I finally get to the place, and I open the door, and I look, and there's Geffen and the whole crew just sitting there. And it was as if I was meeting, like, it was as if I was meeting, I don't know, what do people like MASH? It's like I was meeting, Alan Alda.
Was that the first time you met everyone?
No, because I had met Geffen once before at the, Boston Improv thing when they did a show. And that was right when my parents got divorced, and I told my mom, if you let me go, maybe this divorce won't be so bad. And she did, and I almost started crying when I met Banana Man, Keith. I was nervous. I saw him, and I was like, Keith Askell? And he's like, yeah, man, what's up? I'm Banana Man. I was like, oh, my God, this is so too much for me. And then I was the youngest person there by, like, 16 years. It was the weirdest. It was all, like, weirdly older people.
So, like, how much older you are than your brother.
Exactly. Yeah, nailed it. And then they brought me on stage for this thing called the sober drug trip, where they did what it would look like if you were on drugs, and they sat me on a chair, and I was so scared because they were all wearing faceless masks and tight bodysuits, and they're like, oh my god, blah, blah, blah. And I was so scared. And after the show, Kath was like apologizing for that. You felt really bad of kicking a 14-year-old boy like that.
It was so bizarre, like walking past the line of outside the studio for the pilot and just seeing people
for like the first time.
Yeah, for the first time, I like recognize. This is weird. Like, I don't know. When like you're really into the show, you start recognizing people who really have nothing to do with the show other than being fans.
Yeah.
So it was like I don't know. Like when I saw like Paige, it was like, oh, it's your Paige.
Well, like Paige and I were hanging out online. And I was actually conveniently hanging out next to somebody that I follow on Twitter, but, like, he and I figured that out while we were standing in line, and it was a weird moment. But Paige and I saw you go by, like, you guys go by,
oh, yeah.
And we were like, and then you just walked too fast, and we were like, we'll get you
later.
Yeah, Royce almost walked by me, and I slapped him in the back, in his back, and I'm like, look at me, Royce.
We did, like a weird, awkward bro hug that cooler people know how to do.
Exactly. I was like, you'll never get to know this, white people. Hold it down, white man.
Guys, I can't believe this podcast is still going on.
Yeah, we have to stop.
The thing is, once we stop recording, we'll just keep talking.
Yeah.
And so, like, half the time, like, we'll spend, like, a good, like, 3 or 4 hours just talking. And then probably, like, 2 of that will get recorded.
Scoop.
Yeah.
Scoop.
Scoop.
I came up with another idea for a podcast like a minute ago.
What?
I forgot to say. It's like a 36-hour podcast, but it's just like the last 2 hours of a group of deliriously tired people talking.
Wait, what?
You stay up for like 24 hours, and then you do like a 2-hour podcast of just nonsense.
My friend's done that. I have a friend, actually Celeste from Ontario, going back to her for the third straight week. Whenever her and her friends have an inside joke that whenever one of them's exhausted, they record themselves talking for at least 10 minutes, and they post on some Facebook group, and they have a podcast like that.
That's awesome, actually.
That's elaborate.
Did you have anything to do today, Griffin? Because
no, I was going to say, that's what my contribution to this episode feels like to me. Like, I just stayed up for 24 hours and then recorded a podcast. I went a little too hyphy last night, possibly.
Oh,
and so yeah, I woke up about half an hour before we started recording this.
I woke up while you guys were recording this.
Yeah, nice.
I had to stay up really late last night for a really obnoxious reason. No, it was because God, it was this whole thing. But I was up really late, and I like woke up and saw Paige's text, and I was like, I'm still exhausted. But like,
you guys have each other's numbers? What the fuck?
Yeah,
yeah, because I wrote in the group chat, like, everybody sent me a text so we could out, and then neither of you two three assholes texted me, but Paige did.
Oh, whoops.
So, but the point being that, like, I woke up and, like, saw Paige's text, but then I also saw a text from, like, one of my long-term friends has gotten out of a relationship, and, like, I need to deal with that once I hang out with this podcast. So there's so much I need to do, but I was like, oh, shit, I'm missing the podcast, and I got out of bed and came down. I'm still in my pajamas. Like, I'm in my pajamas. I didn't even do anything.
My mom was like, you want to come to Boston with us, like a family day? I'm like, I'm filming with, I did say this, I'm filming with NBC sitcom person, Griffin Newman.
Oh.
I said that, and yeah, and now it's too late for me to catch the train to Boston. I could have actually made it if we had cut it out like at a normal time, but it's too late now, so going to Boston with my family.
In answer to your question, Royce, NBC sitcom person Griffin Newman has absolutely nothing to do today. There's nothing going on in his life.
Oh, Griffin, I remember, because Horse and Bee was the first episode I went to live.
Yes.
And then I remember, like, I was like, oh, who's Griffin? I was like, did he do something on the show before? I, like, couldn't think of what it was. And then I, like, looked you up, and I was talking to someone about it later, and they were like, yeah, he was part of Mulaney, and I freaked out. I was like, oh, my God, no. And, like, I was so upset that I, like, didn't talk with you more at that moment.
Oh,
and I don't, like, things didn't work out or whatever, but I was just like,
Naomi.
No, here's a scoop. Here's another scoop
about my life.
Get ready for that. Get that chocolate syrup ready, because I'm gonna throw some scoops down. I'm
He's
so delirious
right
now.
Folks. He has tears streaming down his face.
That's why I have all this fake. I have digital effects on in the Google Hangout, so it looks like I'm wearing a monocle and a dog face, so you can't see that I'm crying hysterically. No, the first episode that I was a guest on was the Sum Yourself Up in One Dance Move. And that episode was, I think, 3 or 4 days after the Mulaney pilot wasn't picked up by NBC. And it was largely kind of a favor to me because Chris knew how sad I was. That's like, when I got the part on Mulaney, JD texted me to congratulate me. And I was like, thanks. Now, does this mean I can be a guest on TCGS?
Oh.
Like, that was like my first like cash in. And then once the thing wasn't picked up.
The irony behind that.
I know. I was like, now finally I can get my career the place I want to be as a TCGS guest. And then, yeah, and then once the show wasn't picked up, that was like my big sympathy. Like, hey guys,
how many
this.
Checks do you get in the mail per year from Saddle Bean A High?
Oh, so many. I mean, that's really what pays the bills. That's what keeps the lights on in my mansion.
Okay, I think we should
probably. Hey guys, this is a lovely story, but I actually need to leave.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you film it, Paige, on your phone?
Yeah, it's still recording.
That's good.
It's still recording. Nice. Hey, can I ask Griffin one more question?
Yeah.
How are you so good at getting people to, like, watch the show? Because I feel like I'm so bad at it. Like, I feel like I haven't gotten anybody into the show because, like, the way I describe it is just too weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I that's a good question. I don't have an answer. I'm very persistent. I'll talk about it with people a lot until I finally break them down. The other thing I'll say is I genuinely talk about it with, like, everyone I meet. So maybe it's just a numbers game. Maybe I've only gotten so many people into it because my statistics are actually low. Like, I'm only getting 5% of the people I talk to into the show, but it's because I talk to 1 billion people a month.
Right. But I feel like we mention it a lot. Like,
yeah.
I had to do a speech and communications class last week. Like, half the speech was about TCGS.
Yeah, I bring it up whenever I can. I don't know. I don't know how I do it. I don't know.
I can't ever get my – that's the thing is, like, I tried really hard to get a lot of my friends who, like, we were on the sort of same level of, like, comedy. And, like, I would say, like, oh, you know, if I like this, you must like this. And, like, none of them – first of all, none of them would watch it. And even if I showed them it, they would, like, wouldn't care enough. And so, like, I've just never shown – I gave up after, like, a year of high school, like, trying to get people into it.
Right.
And I just let it be my own thing. And also, like, when people come across the calls, I get really embarrassed, so I just don't tell them about it.
I should quickly just say this. My GarageBand has been cutting in and out of recording because I keep having to hit record. Have fun editing that, Rory. Sorry.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
We should probably cut it right now. I think it's...
Yeah, we should stop.
This is the end.
I'm going to have to listen to the entire thing and sing it all up.
It's almost 2 hours. I think we should stop right here.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you for listening, people, this long, if you have.
Yeah, no one has.
No one has.
So brave of you, people.
If you have,
you will.
If you have, tweet a hashtag. What's a hashtag?
Hashtag
DILF. Hashtag Royce is a DILF.
No, hashtag
Royce is a DILF.
Are we doing that? Okay, that was, I wear my brace straight like Ratatouille.
Well, that's...
No, that's for a half an hour.
Yeah, that was so long ago now.
Oh, God.
Hashtag Lone Survivor, because I think only one person will have made it this far.
Yeah.
Hashtag for JD only.
Yeah.
Does he still listen?
Does he listen to this?
We'll find out.
Okay.
That's my goal for this podcast, to make it into its regular rotation.
Oh, yeah,
podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to stop recording now.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to stop.
Okay.
All right, bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Okay, I stopped.
Second straight weekend.
And here's Colin's bit.
Knock, knock. Who's there? A ghost. Says who? Says me? Says you? I guess that's true. This ghost is evil. He hates black people. And that is not just all he hates. He hates the queers and even the straights. He starred in a film called 50 First Dates. His name is Adam Sandler and he's very mean. He hates anyone above age 13. He is all of us teens' greatest rival. He's the only one fighting against our survival. He'll walk in your room and knock off your headphones. But he is a ghost, so he's really just dead bones. He proceeds to inquire, "Are you making a podcast?" Then, "I love Kevin Smith. Do you listen to Smodcast?" I say, "I'm a teen, and I'm just sitting here chilling. Why'd you have to come in and start being a villain?" Knowing Sandler, he will never have any of that. It's like seeing a whale and calling it fat. In fact, this ghost is not Adam Sandler at all. Nor is it a ghost, or was he very tall? It was my dad, who's a bit portly in stature. If a woman fell off a ledge, he'd surely catch her. He's a really good dude, just in a bad mood. After he hears me talk, he says he's sick of my tood. Now I forget, how did this even start? I can safely admit this premise is falling apart. But at least I gave it effort, at least I had heart. I go by the title of Calling It Quits. But I should change it into Colin not very great at doing bits. In this segment I've done, it's not a report or a bummer. I'm a senior in high school just waiting for summer.